From NHK TV in Japan to the city of Chickasha, Oklahoma, we welcome our viewers from all over the world. First up on commercial-free CNN Student News, we're taking you to Africa. The Ebola outbreak we've been following this year has mostly been limited to West Africa. But new cases of the hemorrhagic fever are turning up in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa. It appears to be a different strain of the virus, meaning it's a separate one from the outbreak that's killed 1,500 people in West Africa. But doctors are scrambling to contain it because Congo borders 9 other countries, and an outbreak there could be catastrophic. There's no cure. Ebola kills many of those who get it, though people can survive if they're treated quickly with fluids, medicines, and nutrients. One big question, though, how do you stop it?
The Ebola outbreak in Africa has left hundreds dead and many more infected. To halt even more infections, finding and treating all the patients is key. But just as important is finding and monitoring all the people who had close contact with those patients. These people, they may have slept in the same house. They may have come in contact with the patient's body fluids. And not all of a patient's close contacts are going to get sick. But those that do can then expose even more people to Ebola. It's called a chain of transmission. I want to give you a real-world example from an Ebola outbreak in the early 2000s. A young woman from Uganda didn't know she was sick with Ebola. She had close contact with 6 people. Her baby and father-in-law, they both got sick. The baby then got his grandmother sick, and she had contact with 2 more people as well. The father-in-law had close contact with 12 people. Out of that, his brother and cousin both got sick. The brother then had close contact with 4 more people. And the cousin had close contact with 5 more people, including another brother who had used his blanket and also got sick. That's how Ebola can spread, from one generation of the disease all the way around to another generation, and then another. Breaking this chain of transmission is crucial, and one way to do it is through something known as contact tracing. Basically, disease detectives use every source they can find to find people who may have had contact with a person sick with Ebola. And then for 21 days, they monitor each person looking for signs and symptoms like a fever. And if it looks like someone is starting to get sick, they're asked to go to an isolation ward. Now, in previous outbreaks, this contact tracing has been pretty effective at halting new transmissions. But the current outbreak is unprecedented in size and scope. The World Health Organization says that so far, more than 8,500 of those close contacts have been identified. Now, just imagine that. How daunting it would be to follow for 21 days more than 8,500 people in a region of the world with fewer resources and in remote locations. If you miss even one exposed individual and then they get sick, the virus keeps spreading. And this outbreak won't be over until there's been 42 days with no new cases.
Moving east of the African continent now to the region of the Middle East. Rockets and airstrikes have brought explosions to Israel and Gaza. Hamas is the group that controls the Palestinian territory of Gaza. Israel and the U.S. label Hamas a terrorist organization. It recently admitted to kidnapping and killing 3 Israeli teenagers in June. That set off the newest flare-up of an old conflict. A Palestinian teenager was killed in early July. Rocket attacks from Gaza and airstrikes from Israel have been on and off ever since. Thousands, mostly Palestinians, have died, and parts of Gaza have become a war zone. A CNN producer describes what it's like to travel there.
So I was lucky enough to get the call to be a producer for Ben Wiedemann, and I say lucky because if you're going to go into Gaza at a time of conflict, there's no better reporter to be there with. He's covered the story for more than 2 decades. He speaks fluent Arabic. He knows the streets of Gaza like the back of his hands. The minute I crossed into Gaza, there were 2 explosions on either side of me, a few hundred meters away, rocket fire or artillery incoming, and it's loud. It shakes the air around you, and I think if you're not scared, there's probably something wrong with you. Every time I go in, I'm always constantly surprised at just how small the place is. It's, you know, from top to bottom, 40 kilometers, around 25 miles long. Which means, you know, when you're in Gaza City on the top of a building, in a couple directions, you can see the Israeli border. You're all the more aware of the close proximity in a time of conflict when there's artillery and bombs coming in and rockets going out.